While you're turning, I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to come into your house this afternoon. We thank you, Lord, for the goodness you have bestowed on us. Even in this time of turmoil around us, I thank you for all the goodness that you have enriched our life with in so many ways. Help us as we look into your word now for this hour, that you'd give us the strength and courage and understanding we need to be better equipped for the world we live in, to be a useful vessel in your hands. We give you the praise for everything that's accomplished. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I started Wednesday night kind of on this subject, but there's a lot of people today who do not have a realistic view of life. I mean, the image of what life ought to be and what it is distorted through so many lenses. It's distorted through any kind of media you watch. I mean, I don't care if it's a sitcom or some other show or the news, especially maybe through education, even through churches. There's a distorted view of life put out there. Many Christians don't have a realistic view of life. Here's the truth. This life's a mixed bag. Some good, some bad. Amen?
Yes.
Whether you're a Christian or not, life will never be perfect in this world, at least not for a very long period of time. Amen? And we studied Wednesday night that there's things in life, life's made up of things you can control and things you can't control. Amen?
Yes.
One of the keys to having a happy, successful life is to focus on those things we can control. Give diligent effort to making good decisions. Give diligent effort to planning and working and carrying them out. But, you know, you've heard of it said your life's the sum of your choices. Well, that's only half true. The life is the sum of your choices plus whatever else happens to you in life that you can't control. Amen? So for a Christian, life is made of giving attention to making good choices, but at the same time, truly trusting God to take care of those things we can't control. To take care of the providence of life. Amen?
Yes.
That truly trust His love and care. So as life seems to careen down through, people say, follow your dreams. You know, you can be whatever you want to be. Well, that's not true. It just ain't. But life can be very good.
Yeah.
Life can be very good by being the best you can be with the Lord.
Amen.
God's plan for your life may not be identical to the plan that you mark out. But the plan God has is better than the plan you mark out. Does that mean you'll be richer? More famous? Enjoy more things? No, it doesn't. But it means life will be better because God's made this life is short compared to your existence. Once you're born, you're going to exist forever. We can't even take in the concept of 10,000 years, much less forever.
Amen.
Our life's just a little sorting out place. It's just going through the tumbler, if you will, of life, banging off the little, you know, like a pinball machine, to determine by the choices we make where we're going to end up spending our real life.
Yes.
Either in heaven, with God in a perfect way, or if we refuse God, into a lost eternity. That's what this life is about. This life is not about maximizing your potential. It's not about accumulating the most wealth you can accumulate. It's not seeing the most things you can see. Now, in the scope of following God, there's a whole bunch of that you can enjoy. You can accumulate things. You can see things. But in the overriding providence of God, trusting Him that He's directing our life to ensure we make it home to heaven. Amen? We read the verse which you got to be able to quote, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them who love the Lord or are called according to His purposes. Amen? All things working for our eternal good. Yes, our good here, but not everything happens to you is going to prosper you here. Amen? Bad things happen to good people. If you haven't figured that out, you will figure that out. Bad things happen to good people in this life. But it doesn't keep God from accomplishing good in your life through those things.
Amen?
Amen? If you think you can make life perfect or make that perfect life happen by your efforts, you're going to be disappointed. And I see a lot of young people duped here today. This is part of the core of the anxiety and depression our young people suffer, is an unrealistic view of life. And they've been told that they can make their life perfect by their efforts. And when they find out it just don't work that way, a lot of anxiety and distress and depression sets in. Making good choices is part of a happy and successful life. No doubt about it. Amen?
Yes.
But if you think you can make the perfect life happen by your efforts alone, you're going to be disappointed. We must trust God and learn contentment within His providential care if we want a good life. The text I chose is Psalms 34:9. It says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Now, the first part of that's not very encouraging, is it? It says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." That's not a way to get people fired up, right? But many are the afflictions of the righteous. You know what that means? This life ain't heaven. This life isn't perfect. We're going to suffer some in this life. Christians may suffer, and in fact, historically, Christians will suffer in this life. Historically, the majority of Christians have suffered in this life to one extent or another. Even when you know the Lord, there is the possibility, in fact, the probability of having suffering and difficulties in this life. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:11, "Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution."
Amen.
Paul warns that we're going to suffer some. There's going to be some persecutions and difficulties come to us simply because we are Christians. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, not being a Christian, abandoning God, is not going to relieve you of suffering and difficulty in this life. Believe me. In fact, it's going to compound it most likely for you. But being a Christian doesn't exempt you from suffering and difficulties.
Right.
But you notice Paul said the same thing. "But out of them all, the Lord delivered me."
Yes.
Our text said, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Delivereth him out of them all. Here's the good news. God's faithful. Yes, we're going to go through difficulties. Yes, we're going to have persecutions and trials in this life. Yes, life is rough sometimes. But God will take care of us. Amen. He says He delivers them out of all. That means God in time is faithful to be more than equal to our trouble. Amen? As we go through life, expect to face difficulties in life. Expect to face some difficulties precisely because you are following the Lord. Yeah. Expect to face other difficulties because you make dumb choices. Expect to face other difficulties because other people make evil or bad choices. Amen? But expect to face difficulty and trouble in this life. The good news is, those of us who know the Lord can rely on Him to take us through all the difficulties we face.
Yes.
Amen? We have a Heavenly Father who is the Creator of the universe. Isaiah 45:22 says, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, there is none else."
Amen.
You know what God said? "There ain't nobody like me. There is nothing like God."
Amen.
Nothing can be compared to the one who created the entire universe. Out of His wisdom, out of His knowledge, all the little intricate details that make up life. And we're still discovering all the minute details that make up life. All the complexity of that. And yet the enormity of it that our minds can't even take in, how vast the universe is. God put it into place. From His wisdom and intellect, devised the intricacies and the enormity of it all. And then God made a special creation, you and me, in His very image, for the purpose of having fellowship with them. And He devised a plan whereby He could have fellowship with you and I. Amen?
Amen.
There's nothing to be compared to God. in any way, in His power, in His love, in His purity, in His wisdom, in His foreknowledge, in any way, there's nothing that can be compared to God.
No.
What did He say? He said, look unto Me, be saved. Now that be saved is not just the idea of conversion here. So a lot of times we say be saved, it has the idea of being converted, salvation in the sense of coming to know the Lord. He's saying, look unto Me and be saved. What He's saying here is be rescued. That's really, He's saying, look unto Me and be rescued. I'm God, there's none else. We're encouraged to look to the very Creator of the universe,
yes,
for our help. So we're out here in life. There's a lot of life that's bigger than you are, bigger than I am. There's a lot of life that takes more wisdom than I have. There certainly takes more power than I have to make things happen. We have a God who is above and beyond it all.
Amen.
Our faith is encouraged to look to God who is both able and willing to help. There's nothing or no one else like Him in the entire universe.
Amen.
Nothing to compare to God. He's the one and only God. He's the Creator. Nothing's too big for Him. And not only is He able to do anything, He also loves us. He's able and He's willing. Isaiah 54 and 10. The mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but My kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of My peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Our God is more sure, more dependable than even the mountains and hills in this created earth. You know that? His concern, His love for us, His mercy on us, His kindness to us is even beyond, we consider if the very mountains would start falling into the sea, and that, we would be very shaken, wouldn't we? I would. If it's all coming apart, I'm going to be concerned. If this ground started falling in under me, I would be concerned. We count on it being solid. We count on it being secure. And yet God said His kindness is even more secure. He said the mountains will be removed. The hills be removed. All these things can be shaken. They may disappear. But God's goodness and kindness will remain. His covenant and His mercy remains sure. We can trust God for everything in this life. He's more dependable than whatever we think is the most solid thing there is. Whatever you think the safest investment is, God's more sure. Whatever you think the most solid structure is, God's more sure. Whoever you think the most dependable person is, God's more sure. Amen. Not only can we trust God for this life, we can trust Him for the life to come. John 6:37 says, all that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out. One of the greatest fears Satan thrusts on us is in the midst of difficulties of life is say, God's abandoned you. God's given you up. You must have done something more. He'll bring something to your mind. God's not for you anymore. God works on people. Either Satan works on people one of two ways. Here's Satan's attack. Satan is an accuser. That's very name means accuser. Satan works this way. He will either accuse God of being unfaithful or you of being unworthy. He's either going to accuse your God to break your relationship with God. He will try and use every unfortunate, undesirable circumstance of life to scream, God's not fair, God doesn't love you, there's nothing to this, right? That's what Satan again and again is an accuser of God. On the other hand, if you can't shake your confidence in God, he will begin to accuse you. Well, this is good for everybody else, but there's something wrong with you. It's you that's the problem. Either you're too far gone, you're too wicked, you don't have faith. Whatever it is, Satan can accuse you of to try and break your confidence in God. Amen? That's how it works. But God's saying here, Jesus said, all the Father gives Me will come to Me, and then him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out. That's an assurance, isn't it? God saved us to bring us all the way through this life and home to heaven. God's purpose in calling you wasn't just to make a start, wasn't just to convert. God's purpose in calling you was to help you all the way through this life, all the way home to heaven. God will continue to bear us, carry us, and deliver us. He does not cast away those who come to Him for help. Amen? If you come to Him genuinely, searching, willing to submit yourself to Him, willing to do what He asks you to do, if you come to Him on those terms, God will in no wise cast out. Not the begin, not the end, no place in between. Amen? Amen. He bears us up. Hey, you know this already in your own life. God's been more faithful to you than what we deserve. Amen?
Yes.
God's already been more faithful than what we deserve. He hasn't abandoned us when we've done stupid stuff. He hasn't abandoned us when we've wandered off on our own, pursue our own way. Amen?
Amen.
God has proven Himself faithful and will to the end. He will in no wise cast out. I think, and this is just my thoughts, that we're entering a time of some turbulence. And I don't have to have a prophetic insight to see that. Our political world is upside down. Our society is intensely divided in opinion on values and lifestyles and what ought to be and what ought not to be. Our world is shaking in many ways. Christianity is falling into disfavor in the society in which we live. All who live godly shall suffer persecution. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. That may be our experience. We really haven't had that experience much. You'll be honest, we really have. We really have. Life has been good. To a very large extent, life's been good. Most of what we suffer is because of our own stupidity or somebody else's bad choices, right? I mean, that's most of it. But we may hit some turbulence. But it's no reason to despair. Christians in the past have faced difficulties and trials with a triumphant attitude, with confidence in God. And that's what I want to encourage you. I don't know what it's going to be like. But I know our God remains the same no matter what it's like. He's still faithful.
Amen.
Yes, we should strive to learn what we can learn. Learn God's Word. Learn to put it into practice. Strive diligently to make good choices. Make good plans. Work hard to carry them out. Because that makes up a goodly portion of life. But on the other hand, there's another portion of life that you don't have any control over. And we need to get a realistic view. You can work hard as you want to and plan wisely and make all the right choices and still have some real difficulties and problems in life. Amen?
Yes.
We're not exempt from sickness coming in. We've heard of some good Christians who have lost children. Amen?
Yes.
Young people who's went to heaven prematurely in our estimation. Right? We're not exempt from the normal parts of life. But this we have. The very God of the universe, the very creator of the universe, to go with us, to plan the way, to shape the events of life for our good, for our ultimate eternal good. And also, if you've known God any length of time, you know He's very good to us in this life as well. God's not just concerned about eternity, He's concerned about this life. Amen? But we need balance. We need balance. If all of our focus is on making this life perfect, we're going to be disappointed. Our focus should be on making our choices good, but trusting the providence of God to take us down that winding road of life safely, home, safe to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Trusting. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So why does it matter? May God bless you. I hope.